Hello and welcome to the Broadcast Sport podcast. I'm Max Miller, senior reporter for Broadcast Sport, and for this episode I'm speaking to Julian Bird, CEO and founder of Lawton Entertainment, about their upcoming boxing documentary series Stable, as well as the wider sport documentary production landscape.
My name is Julian Bird. CEO of Lawton Entertainment. My background actually wasn't in film and media. My background initially for what I would call my first career was in investment banking. I helped set up the European business of an investment bank called KBW, Keith Barrett and Woods. And that was a specialist in raising money for other banks. So completely separate, nothing to do with film and media at all. And I worked in that industry I'm going back a bit now, I'm a bit old, but so from about 21 till about 36, 37, so 15, 16 years. And, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I would like to say got some good experience within sort of the financial markets and financial structuring and also some good contacts within the investment world, I guess. But I think at some point during that sort of process, I couldn't tell you exactly when, I sort of lost my love for that and decided I quite enjoyed building businesses. So like when we started the bank, when I was 25, 26, it was very exciting. It was sort of blank sheet of paper. I was able to just sort of, you go out and just be entrepreneurial about sort of how you wanted to go about your business. And if you did well, you were successful. And then that was fun. That was what I realized I enjoyed doing. So by the time I got to the age of sort of 34, 35, I was quite sort of keen to have that experience again. I'm very proud to say a very successful business, but I wanted to have that sort of risk of starting a new business. And I had been an investor in film in the past, and I was very aware of both friends, colleagues, and just generally in the marketplace that film as an investment had a bad reputation at that point. There was these tax schemes that you may or may not have been aware of that hurt a lot of people. And, that had created a bad reputation. At the same time, people just generally, private capital investing into film was not a generally known as a successful area. And I just thought to myself, I'd like to be the contrarian. If I was able to sort of look at film and bring what I would call sensible capital to what had become a capital-starved industry, then I would be, then there'd be no barrier to entry for me as a business to be able to sort of grow it. But to all intents and purposes, that idea has worked. Lawton started 6 or 7 years ago, maybe a bit longer. I had an idea of being a financier first. So as a sort of provider of private finance, I would say, two films or documentaries. That idea has evolved to involving being a producer of those films that we finance and a sales company to those films that we finance. That's sort of where Lawton stands now. I think that the two bits of luck I probably had was one, falling more so into the factual space, so financing documentaries and producing documentaries or financing docuseries, producing them. We'd had some endeavors around the scripted world in the early days and that hadn't been so successful for us. But, our first film was a film called Supersonic, and that was on Oasis, the band. And then we quite quickly after that financed Afif Kapadia's next film after the Amy Winehouse documentary, and that was Maradona. And then sort of we kept that they were working as an investment. So we just kept working in the area of music and sport in the factual space. Lawton now is a company that's probably done just under 30 projects over the course of 5 or 6 years financed. We now produce everything that we finance or co-produce, I guess. We generally sell most of our projects directly to either a streamer or a broadcaster, but largely sort of do worldwide deals. We have, we've got quite a big pipeline of sports and music related content, and that's where we're focusing on at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And well, that's why we're talking now, because Stable is coming out in a few days.
Yeah, so I'm very proud of this one. This is, we've done a lot of what I would say football related content, and we have a lot of football related content in the pipeline, but Stable is obviously very focused on the boxing world. It follows sort of Barry and Shane McGuigan and their stable of fighters that they have within their training group. And it's one of the most things I'm most proud of. The BBC have acquired it for the UK. It's on this coming weekend on Saturday night after Match of the Day, and I think Sunday night as well. 4 episodes. It looks boxing traditionally. I think you've seen boxing documentaries and boxing generally. It's all been around the glamour, the glitz, I guess. you know, maybe the money. This is a very sort of strong emphasis around human stories, you know, the individuals. So there's some of the boxers are actually world champions or have become world champions during the process of the filming, and we'll see all that when you watch it. But it also covers sort of their actual lives, you know, from the McGuigans to the boxers, how much, you know, the ups and downs, and there has been some real ups and downs, certainly within the McGuigan side of things. So it's, you know, it's one I'm very proud of.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of taking that fly on the wall kind of style that's been very popular for the past kind of, I guess, 5-6 years at this point.
Well, it absolutely has. I think it's, when those, you know, they are becoming more of the norm, but they're very hard, like all these projects that do this, fly on the wall or intimate access driven style projects, they're very hard to do authentically, you know, if you're sort of like, and certainly whether you're a Formula One driver or you're a footballer or you're a part of a football club or whether you're a boxer, being sort of so getting that intimate access, trying to get that focus into sort of the ups and downs of what it makes to be a successful sports person or individual, and I think the you know, actually our director Gavin Fitzgerald, we'd worked with in the past, he worked on the Conor McGregor documentary as well, and he did our Liam Gallagher documentary. Fantastic style. He's really sort of managed to deliver something that I think that will be quite unique. And for box, whether you're a boxing fan or a sporting fan or just someone who's interested in fascinating characters, and boxing certainly has that, then Gavin's captured that. It's been great to see. You know, there's some tragedy in the stories. There's some excitement in the stories. There's some losses, wins, all that sort of anything you can hope for. So I'm very proud of it.
Is that something, I mean, Lawton in the past have kind of done some documentaries along that style and some things about other, like Maradona, for example, is more archive and stuff like that, is it?
I think when we started, it was very much archive-driven. And we've moved with the market. So in those days, the sort of the contemporary fly on the wall or whatever you want to call it style of documentary was less common. You know, if you look at sort of, you know, Asif Kapadi and how he reinvented documentaries with Senna and then, you know, Amy, Maradona with us, I think, you know, that was those are fantastic documentaries, and we've probably for the first 15 to 20 projects that we did, they were very much driven around that style. As the market's moved, and as you've seen the likes of Drive to Survive and some of the All or Nothings come out, you know, there's been the audience has evolved, the desire to see both what's going on in the now and trying to capture those special moments right there and then, which isn't easy, but probably is fantastic. So, you know, we try and in everything that we do, whether it's stable and sort of looking at the history of the McGuigans, both from a professional basis or a family basis, trying to capture that historical context and looking at archive driven, but also the contemporary. So stable is a hybrid. You know, something that we're a couple of projects we're working on at the moment, certainly in the football space, around Liverpool, for instance, or Newcastle that we did. They were very much sort of a hybrid style that could follow in them through the season, as well as looking at the history of the clubs and so on. So I think the market evolves. The consumer is the viewer is evolving all the time, and you've just got to keep up with that. And that makes it exciting and interesting, actually.
Yeah, of course. Is it something that you think is going to continue to be a popular area that you're going to look at as well? I mean, obviously recently, like Netflix, it was the tennis documentary, Breakpoint, was cancelled. But obviously, they've still got a ton of other ones still going, so it's not ending in any way.
I think the market evolved. I mean, like as a I've been wearing two hats here. So as a financier, I think that definitely the market has moved to the streamers wanting or the buyers, the acquirers wanting sort of the more sort of big, they're willing to spend and invest in the bigger, more, I would say, obviously commercial sort of stories. And they're not afraid to do that. It's probably less of a volume game now. So, you know, some of those stories that may be less obvious, but potentially more unique, unfortunately at the moment, not necessarily being sort of backed as much as I would personally like to see. I think there's a market for both. So I definitely would like them to be sort of looking at a breadth of different product. And I think the consumer would as well. I think from a viewer perspective, and, you know, as what we're trying to do as a producer, is very much focused around evolving, you know, you know, Drive to Survive, again, use that as an example, really set the tone for what we expect to see. Already, we're seeing evolving docu-series, especially in sport, that look at sort of both historical and contemporary, and I think that's going to continue. I think that, you know, we've established quite an interesting niche, which we want to grow within the football and particularly, hopefully, the Premier League area. You know, telling a story as a football fan or watching a story as a football fan of my club or clubs, not just on the pitch for the season, but also how they do their business, how they work out, seeing how they're discussing managing financial fair play or how they're working out, sort of discussing transfers and all that sort of stuff. Everyone's a wannabe football manager. So, like, seeing all that on screen is brilliant. And that's what we're trying to achieve, certainly with Liverpool and so on.
And when you're doing that, is it more in partnership with the club, effectively? They have more control over the content and things than if...
We see everything we do, whether we're doing it with a club or a individual or any institution, as a partnership. You know, you go in, you know, obviously there's economics and financial deals that need to be agreed and, you know, that gets done. But that's only a small part of it. That's the start of it. Get the shooting. You've got to build up the trust of the, you know, in the case of football clubs, of the players and the people that run the club. You've got to sort of then work with them to find out the best stories. And then, but, you know, we'll always have and want control over the projects from a creative perspective. But that doesn't mean you can't work in partnership with them. And so, you know, they know their club inside out. They'll know individuals, whether it's the groundsman or the fan that they've known all the time. That we've got to get in and try and find those people and tell those stories alongside telling the stories of the big famous footballers and so on. So I think it is a partnership. But you obviously, you know, it's important to have independence around your projects.
Slightly separately, but you're speaking for obviously about how streamers, the buyers are kind of, cutting down on the number of projects, but making those individual projects probably bigger is basically what's happening. From your side of things, that combined with kind of the commissioning slowdown and stuff, is it really helpful coming from the finance side in the first place originally to kind of help your projections going along?
When I first started, I was sort of going flying by the seat of my pants a little bit, just jumping from... being a guy that helped banks not go bust, for instance, or whatever, to a guy who went to finance and films is quite a leap. There's not much of an overlap. Yeah. But what the overlap I did find useful is structuring, managing risk. I mean, it might be boring, but like if the more projects that we can do that we don't lose people, investors' money on, or the more that people will keep investing, and then we grow. You know, my ultimate dream for Lawton has always been to create content investing from a private perspective as an asset class. So in the same way you hear of people investing in wine or art, not that I know anything about that, but like the people, they are big markets and people can pension funds invest in them and hedge funds invest in them and people invest in them as a way of managing their portfolio or managing their assets so they're not fully exposed to interest rates or inflation or equity risk or bond risk. It's a great way. And I think there's, you know, now that the streamers have come in a very professional way, you know, these mega companies, Apple, Amazon's, you know, Netflix's are now there. And you know you can do transactions with them and you know how you're going to get paid and you know you're going to get paid, you know. And so the industry has become a lot more institutional, which is fantastic. It's only bullish for the long run area of it. And that's why I think that the UK has been growing as an industry and will keep growing. So yes, times are tough at the moment. And like all of the acquirers are pulling back their budgets a bit. But, you know, times will, you know, fingers crossed for everyone, cost of living, all those pressures will abate. And then, you know, you'll start to see some growth again. And I think that, you know, we'll see consolidation. But all that means there's a healthy industry to be worked on, which has more structure to it, which means from my perspective as a financier first, I can put together funds that allow people to invest in with some knowledge that we can manage those portfolios for them and help create content as an alternative investment class.
How do you aim to take away that risk when it's something over the last, I mean, since COVID, basically, it's been incredibly up and down in the industry in general?
Well, a few factors. Where do I start? I think one is certainly experience. You know, I haven't done it and I've made mistakes. There have been films we've lost money on. But I would say, you know, the more you grow experience in any job you do or any industry you do, you should get better at it. If you're not, then you're in the wrong industry. I think that that's definitely been the case for us, that I've learned and that I've surrounded the top level of my business are largely investment related people or finance related people who I knew before. And then we have a lot of incredibly talented filmmakers that sit below it and that we can we pass the projects on and who know how to make them in the right creative way and structure to tell the right stories. But I think that having experience like in the industry, which we have now, or we're growing, having people who know how to manage risk generally, too. Three, I think understanding how to sort of the price point of projects, whether it's a big series on a football club or whether it's an individual film on a footballer or a boxing series like Stable, you've got to think about what's the market and you've got to go test the market. You've got to go speak to the streamers, the platforms, the broadcasters, and understand if there is demand or interest. So that we have to do the work we do in pricing up a product. In the old days, I think personally, you'd see massively inflated production budgets on films so that people were paid, this may be a controversial comment, but people were paid as a percentage of the budget so that they were having to earn their living, to be fair. That's you know, people were living hand to mouth. It was really hard. These fantastically brilliant people, there was no real financing structure except for if you got lucky and got commissioned by a broadcaster, basically. Now, that model has changed a lot now, so there's much more respect of capital. I think that's only going to benefit the industry, both in the UK and elsewhere, for being a growing business.
So it's much more, well, hopefully, going forward, that's in place for when it starts growing again.
Investors will come to any market that looks as though it has growth to it. And it's got to be an exciting market that has growth to it. I think even now, that exists. It may not be, we may not see bigger growth in the context of how much money's been spent on projects, but I can guarantee, and I don't have the numbers here, but I can guarantee the amount of projects that have been privately financed has grown and will keep growing. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that mid-market. And that's a really good thing, because that also means that projects that should be made that aren't being commissioned can be made still. So many fantastic stories. I don't think there is, I don't think there's saturation on content. I think there's a need to evolve in content, both in length, both in style, and that's always going to happen. If you don't move with that, then you're going to be missing the trick every time. The consumer and the viewer is always right, and in reality, you've got to move with what they're wanting and what they're expecting. But at the same time, I think this industry is very well set for growth when it happens, and I think that's only good news for filmmakers.
Yes, definitely. And is that kind of where you see Lawton, I guess, standing as well? Then you're able to kind of go after those stories which maybe aren't quite that, like, well, obviously you're working with Liverpool and things, so they are the top end stories, but then you're also able to do the other stuff.
We're having a fund, so we've got two funds running. They're funds that people invest in. They sit there and they're individually, they're managed, you know, separately. There's an independent board, auditor, administration coming up. So it's a proper, as you would expect if you were investing in an equity fund, a bond fund, they are very professional structures. And they sit there, the money sits there, and we look for projects. So obviously we need to look for a balance or a number of them to manage risk, like any portfolio theory. With that in mind, you want to have a few, like in our first fund, we had a number of investments, and there were some what I would call big investments, like big well-known institutions, you know, Boris Becker documentaries, the Waggifer documentary series, you know, the Wayne Rooney film. They're all in our first fund, which did well. And then we had other projects that we wanted to back that probably wouldn't have been commissioned off the back or maybe it may have been harder, to be fair, to be commissioned pre-commissioned. So a horse racing series called Horsepower that ended up on Amazon, I'm very proud of. Great little four-part, and I'd love to be doing more of that. Stable is one. Stable is there to be made as another series and a series after that. And I bet you people who watch it, again, I know, hopefully, I think that when they watch it, they will see that there's fascinating human stories there that people are going to want to know about more. You know, Chris Bill and Smith, an amazing human being who may be classed as sort of more ordinary in the boxing world of boxers who are quite extrovert. And yet his story of how he's come through to, he's called the gentleman. I mean, the reality is he is a gentleman. And the series finishes on the fourth episode with him winning the world title against one of an old colleague from the stable. And it's just an incredible atmosphere at Bournemouth Ground. Those stories are brilliant. Now, we want to know what he does next. I do. And I want to film that. And so I want us to be in a position to keep telling those stories at the same time as obviously doing the Liverpools of this world.
Yeah. And is that also, I guess, obviously it doesn't work with a Rooney or a Becker as they're kind of, there's a finite amount of content, but are you always looking to kind of leave it open to further series?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that you never know who's going to be the big star tomorrow. I mean, I don't think it's rocket science to work out. If you find a load of famous people, make famous films, they're probably going to get people to watch them, whether they're any good or not. I think the skill is trying to look for those people who are about to break out, you know, and being good enough. We're looking at music and sport, as you know. So whether it's musicians, which is, there are the musicians turn around and become, like look at Ray, finding those people now and telling those stories as they're on the cusp of exploding, or, you know, the sportsmen who, you know, you think about events that are coming up, you've got the Olympics coming up, looking for those who are going to sort of, who you suspect might perform well at the Olympics and trying to get some access to those sort of people. Those are great stories. I think you've got to, it's not easy. You need to get in there. But like once they trust you as well, which I think we've got with, for instance, the Rooney family, and when we went to Wayne and did his project, you know, and having worked with Colleen on Wagatha, and, you know, we've announced already that we are advanced on various other projects with the family. You know, there's no doubt that that trust has been built, I'd like to think anyway. And that means that we'll keep working with them. I'd love that model to work across all the individuals that we work with, without a doubt at all. And, you know, there's some, you know, stable, for instance, Ellie Scottney, who won the world championship. You know, she's a fantastic story. Love to follow her individually, for instance. Those sort of stories are there to be told, for sure. And I think the audience is there to watch it. We've just got to persuade sometimes the streamers and the broadcasters to back it as well.
Yeah, that seems to be the challenge at the moment, I guess. It's kind of that.
I mean, they're fair enough. They have their jobs, yeah. And, you know, times are tougher and people are, they're fun, but they are still fighting for eyeballs, and those businesses aren't going away. And I would suggest that everyone needs to sort of think outside the box about the type of things they want to garner interest. So I've got one example in the music world. One of our first projects that we financed and full well produced was Bross, the Bross documentary. Now, that was one who, you know, at the time, my kids had never heard of Bross. You know, people, you know, in sort of their teens wouldn't have heard of Bross. I did because I'm old. And it's turned out to be an absolute classic. You've got to be a private finance that allows us to take that risk on those ideas. And, you know, Leo Perlman had the vision to do that. Joe Perlman had the vision to make it. And, you know, look at him now. He's making sort of all these big music docs, and, you know, good on them. Full credit to them.
And do you see a kind of lot of similarities between working in music and working in sport?
I would say I would like to think, and I'm not, I'd like to think that the growth, if I was to look at the two sub-segments of music and sport, now there's a lot of sport out there, and there will continue to be. So to be really unique is quite hard now. I think the opportunities in music, I'd like to think the acquirers, particularly the streamers, see that eventually. And, you know, obviously an Ed Sheeran documentary or a Lewis Capaldi documentary or Robbie Williams documentary, you know, they are big stars. You know, but I think that sort of the stories of some of the musicians just the at the moment a level below, but who could get to that level. I think if we saw more backing of them, I think we'd see some, I think there could be some real growth there, and I'm certainly looking to target that. You know, everyone's a wannabe singer or music writer, and like, well, now I'm always off trying to get to the karaoke bars and trying to sort of sing a few songs, and I've got the worst voice in the world. But I tell you what, I like to see how they do it. I like to see how they write their songs. I like to sort of see all that stuff aside from the glitz and the glamour.
And so in that case, for Lawton, do you see it as kind of a 50-50 split between kind of music and sport, or is there one which kind of takes precedence?
We've probably done, and I don't know the exact number here, but over a course of our projects, it's probably weighted more towards sport. So probably 70%, I would say, I guess. Our pipeline probably still reflects that weighting. If I can, I will be, the amount of time that I put in trying to find new projects perhaps will be weighted more towards music because of what I've just said to you. And it's just the execution that's needed for that. So, you know, there's many things we're doing in the business, many, some things I can't really say now, that might fit to having sort of both more music alongside sport. I think that as Liverpool's been a fantastic project for us, just from a profile perspective, to be able to sort of get people to know what we're doing and our model, which is different. There aren't many financier, producers, sales companies out there with sort of that vertically integrated model that tries to sort of replicate maybe a studio without the cost. You know, we will live and die by our content, certainly as an investor. And so we have to keep working very hard off and thinking of what that consumer would want to see.
Of course, and that's, well, like you say, it is quite rare to be that full finance, production, distribution. I mean, it's like yourselves and, I don't know, Noah Media Group maybe as well and things like that who do similar things.
Yeah, absolutely. It just means we have some, actually, one of the biggest benefits without a doubt is that if we find a project or projects and we get a deal done, and there's always a bit to and fro on that, we can move straight away. You know, or every project, like we're there. That's really valuable to the iconic person it is, or the individual, or the institution, that we can say, bang, here's the deal, let's go. And we can shoot tomorrow. And that's great. Because otherwise, it takes a long time. And then if someone does a deal, they've then got to go and get it commissioned or sold, pre-sold. And you never quite know.
Looking forward, I guess, over the next kind of 12 months, but what would you think would be the areas in which there are kind of opportunities for production companies, for distribution, for finance?
So I think we will grow more. I think, well, talking about us specifically, I think we are likely to see more projects and more growth within the Football Premier League, the club area. I think, without saying any more, I think the sort of, you know, Newcastle, Liverpool, it doesn't take a rocket scientist again to work out that we would like to do more around that space. And not just those sort of hybrid all or nothing style, where they're not all or nothings, they are, as I just said to you, but also sort of mini projects within that, focusing on storylines that we can work with clubs on. I think that those, if you look at sporting content that's in the US, like for instance, the Fantastic Quarterback series, you know, trying to put sort of formatted series around that with iconic stars in the UK would be a bad idea. And, you know, music I've spoken about, obviously. So we're going to be growing around that. You know, we do have, you know, an actual step for us to move. We've done scripted to some degrees of success, less so in others. We've got a couple of films that we've finished now that are for release later this year or next year. We've got one in production in America at the moment on the scripted side. We will probably have an announcement coming out on quite a big sports scripted project. A natural leap for us from sports and music factual to sports and music scripted isn't a bad idea either for us, I think. Well, it might be a terrible idea.
No.
But they, you know, having the contacts and being able to say to this iconic institution or this iconic person in sports or music, let's make it scripted for me. And like you've seen with the music in particular, Bohemian Rhapsody and Rocket Man, and you know, I think you'll see more in sport there actually, and see much more scripted sport. And we've certainly got something which I'm quite excited about. I think generally, I think you'll see more private finance come into the market, and I think that's a good thing. So maybe your content will be regarded as a really sort of 5 years time a valuable area to invest in, and then we have a huge film market in the UK then, and that's good for everyone. It's good for filmmakers. It's good for investors. That's what I like to see.
Thanks for listening to the Broadcast Sport podcast. You can find more of our content at broadcastnow.co.uk/broadcast-sport. Meanwhile, make sure to subscribe and we'll see you for the next one.